This is Healing Justice, a podcast at the intersections of collective healing and social change. I'm your host, Kate Werning, and I'm so excited to be coming to the end of season two with you. Our podcast is notorious for having truly never-ending seasons. We now have 111 episodes, and there are two seasons, a series, and some live shows, and some announcement episodes in there somewhere. We're going to figure out how long seasons really should be and do that in the future. But I'm really excited today to be coming to you with a reflection on season two here on the podcast, which has been happening from April 2019 until now October 2019. And we have been through a hell of a lot of changes during season two. We brought on our first two team members, Jale and Whitney, who you'll meet during this episode. We really have formalized and built some ground with our advisory circle over the year. A big thank you to them. You can see their names at healingjustice.org/team. What else? We've been going through a renaming process and actually have a new name selected now that you'll hear more about very, very soon. And just really upgraded. I mean, geez, the last thing is that we've totally upgraded our commitment and ability to achieve greater access to this podcast. If you missed it last week, we had this incredible episode with Erica Wolf and Michaela Anand from the volunteer access team here at the show, talking about all of the things we've implemented over the past year to create broader accessibility. And you can read about a lot of that at healingjustice.org/access, as well as now see every single episode we've ever published and its full transcript on healingjustice.org/podcast. So it's been a very full year. And today, what you'll hear is a little bit of reflection on this past season, as well as an opportunity most of this episode to actually drop in and get to meet Whitney and Jale. And so, glad you're here. And if you want to follow along, or if this works, you know, on your phone, if you're on the go or on your computer, you can open up healingjustice.org/podcast. Shout out to Whitney and the whole team, Kaylee and Rebecca and others who've advised us on accessibility and layout and design and code to get this website to you looking cute and functional and accessible. And this is the new site where all of our episodes live. If you can even believe it, for the past 2 years on our website, this entire volume of like 110 episodes and all of this deep wisdom and skill and extra resources and bios of our guests and all of these things have been living only on the podcast feed. So like if you came to our website, there'd be a little button that would be like, subscribe to the podcast. And that's actually where all these resources lived. Now they are on our website, healingjustice.org/podcast. It's so much easier to read. It's so much clearer to access. The transcripts are there. There's like over 1,600 pages of transcripts that our access team has lovingly and meticulously prepared for you. So let's dive in there and do a little review of season two. In April, our kickoff episode was with the Icarus Project, and they talked about destigmatizing mental health and shared this practice of mad maps with us. Augustina and Rihanna were amazing and have incredible, deep, and well-deserved cred in this work. And a couple things about this episode that struck me. One is that the Mad Maps, we were also able to offer Mapas Locos in Spanish, one of our several Spanish practices. So you can check out Practica number 35 if you're working with folks who speak Spanish, or if you speak Spanish and just prefer to do it in your native language, you can check out that practice. I also was really impacted in this episode by our exchange about destigmatizing conversation about suicide. And so much so that I actually, a little bit later this year, ended up sharing the story of my grandfather's suicide. And so, which was actually a really hard process and continues to be a hard process to talk about that in my family. But I'm really grateful to Augustina and Rihanna for the work that they're doing around destigmatizing mental health. Our second episode was about pleasure activism, and I know because that was our first book club selection that many of you had read Pleasure Activism. Maybe you're reading it multiple times, but it was so much fun to have Adrienne Marie Brown and Amitha Swadheen on the show to talk about the politics of feeling good and to hear from Amitha's wisdom about pleasure and joy and freedom after childhood sexual abuse. I really appreciated what Amitha brought and the way that heaviness and pain can be really coupled with a healing that is joyful and full of potential. I think about our advisor, Shauna Wakefield, talking about what resilience means to her. And she said in the past, like, resilience is not just getting back to where we once were before the trauma happened, but resilience is this vision and this hope that we could actually thrive even more than before it happened. And so I felt that so much from Amitha, and I had so much fun reading the book with all of you over the past, you know, the 3 months that we read it together in book club, releasing the discussion guide and doing the virtual hangout with Adrienne and Monique Tula and Amitha. And seeing you all gathering locally, whether it was just, you know, hopping on your computer or gathering a group in your home to submit your questions and be in dialogue with the authors. So if you missed that book club, you actually, whenever you join our book club, you can get access to this whole backlog of all of our book club resources. So if you're reading Pleasure Activism now, you can still join at healingjustice.org/bookclub. And if you sign up as a sustaining member at any level, $10 and above, you will get access to the recording of that conversation and to the discussion guide, and to be able to find people locally who also have read or are reading Pleasure Activism. The next thing that we talked about is, we had Lucienne Demarest come back. Many of you heard Lucienne last season in episode 32, talking about bridging complexity. And Lucienne came back to talk about relational somatics and offered us this really sweet, simple, intimate practice called the somatic check-in that is literally an exercise where you feel the pulse, you tune into the pulse and the breath of a partner in a group of three. That practice is so sweet. I love it so much. And Lucienne does such an amazing job reconnecting us to our bodies and our breath and the natural world to ground our work and help us move from kind of a fully embodied, not over or under embodied place into powerful work. Then we got to hang out with Phil Agnew, who was the former executive director of the Dream Defenders and is a leader in the movement for Black Lives. And we got so much feedback from y'all that you loved this episode with Phil. Phil has been doing so much reflection right now after transitioning out of the co-director role at Dream Defenders. And it was really amazing to get to hear him kind of process his leadership transition and the way we think about keeping our leaders engaged and taking care of our leaders through various transitions. He talked about capitalism and this idea that we're supposed to be climbing hierarchies as leaders, and gave us the Artist Manifesto from Smoke Signal Studio. That episode was really dope. We also got to hear from Janelle Bouvet and Aida Cuadrado Bosso from Community for Change. And they talked about thriving after incarceration. This one really impacted me when Janelle, both in the episode conversation and in the practice, shared a condolence ceremony that the Akwesasne people in Mohawk territory, which is where she's from, offered a ritual of return to the community when Janelle came back after being incarcerated. that minimized shame and brought her back into the community with pride. And it made me think so much about how we need to ritualize those moments of belonging and re-belonging for ourselves and for each other. And I really appreciated Janelle sharing what was appropriate for her to share out of that practice. Then we got to talk to the NAP deacon, the NAP bishop, Trisha Hersey, about rest as reparations. And this is truly a crowning practice, y'all. Practice number 40, the perfect nap with Trisha Hersey. This recording is just straight up rest affirmations, anti-capitalism, anti-racism, healing from colonialism. It is brilliant, and actually to the point that it's becoming obnoxious because my dad and my brother will, like if I text them and they're busy and my brother woke up for a nap, he texts me back and he's like, oh, sorry, I'm reclaiming my life from capitalism. I just woke up from a nap, so I can't answer you right now. But Trisha is with the NAP ministry just serving up truth and reclamation around how important it is for us to rest. And there's a real gem in there if you go back and listen to it, about how I ask a question about how, how we can think about rest when they build more prisons while we're sleeping. And Trisha was basically like, I don't accept the premise of that question because it's assuming that our efforts are the only thing that are working on our behalf and that we are actually part of a sacred momentum of layers of spiritual work that are also happening. And we can't like be reduced to this very flat paradigm of we have to work faster and harder to outrace our opposition, and that's the only layer that's happening. And so Trisha went ahead and changed my life with that little exchange. And again, practice number 40, this is like our audio love letter to the movement, y'all. If you can put this on and listen to it to help yourself go to sleep, it's like a little lullaby in your phone. Next, we talked to EJ Uday and Samia Abu Samra of Turtle Tank. They talked about sacred work and radical purpose and rooting in desire and are totally transforming the way that we think about work and actually returning it to Indigenous roots in terms of how people think about their work and their contribution to the world and what it means to work in a good way. There's a lot to cover here. I highly recommend you go check out those episodes from Turtle Tank and think about how work could be done in a way that doesn't feel extractive. We talked about aging in the movement with Two Old Bitches, which if you haven't heard the podcast Two Old Bitches from Ide Malave and Joanne Sandler, it is such a gift getting to hear folks who've been in movement work their entire lives talk about what it is to be older women in this work. It's so much fun. Listen to their podcast, Two Old Bitches. It's amazing. We also talked with Nora Samaran and Serena Lucas Bandar about the book Turn This World Inside Out, The Emergence of Nurturist Culture, which is currently the book that we're reading in book club. So again, you can check out healingjustice.org/book club, and there's still time to join in time to get the discussion guide. The book is amazing and so rich and so deep, and is also nice and short and digestible. And so you can order that book from AK Press if you want to at akpress.org and use the code podcast for 15% off. Again, you can join our book club at healingjustice.org/book club and learn more directly from Nora and the crew, including Alex Johnson, who will be joining us for the virtual hangout in October to talk about that book. Okay, just a few more, y'all. So we talked about tender masculinity with Irak Arroyo Montano. Listen, this episode was medicine for so many people. We heard back from men, from women, from non-binary folks, from everybody, how much healing there is to talk with vulnerability, with taking responsibility around uprooting toxic masculinity and patriarchy within our relationships and within ourselves. So tender masculinity. And then that practice is a really sweet one. Like the nap one, it fits well into your rituals of your day, the sacred shower or bath practice that was originally from the Mijente ancestral resistance scene that Erock shares with us. And it's for working with your grief in the shower or in the bathtub. And you can just do it while you're already bathing, or you can set aside a special time to do it. So check out that practice. Our last two full episodes, we had this incredible conversation with Bea Anderson, who runs Song of the Spirit Institute and is a member of Harriet's Apothecary. And Bea took us to school about what song and voice has to do with ancestral healing. We got to talk about what is going on that so many people, quote unquote, hate their voices. What it is to accompany folks in feeling empowered to speak truth and to get in right relationship with our own voices. Bea also offered us a practice called My Inside Voice that helps us do that. And finally, our last interview of the season was all about accessibility. We talked with Alice Wong, we were totally fangirling over because Alice runs a podcast that we love called Disability Visibility. And we talked about building media that is accessible and building movements that are accessible and disability as a political identity. And then last week, we released this episode with our access team, Erica and Michaela, talking about some of the practices that we've been putting into place here at the podcast. We now have this whole landing page on our website, healingjustice.org/access, where you can submit questions, requests, let us know how our tools are working for you. You can read the whole social justice transcription guide that we created and co-created amongst a team of over 100 volunteers around the world that were working on the transcripts from this podcast. And you can see every single transcript ever from this show at healingjustice.org/podcast. So that brings us to today, y'all. Thank you for listening to that. It felt impossible to enter into a reflection moment that didn't include the teachings and the wisdom of all of those guests. Part of our commitment in offering episodes like this one is to really visibilize what it takes to try to implement this work internally at our little organization here as a means of transparency, as a means of always being in practice. And one of my favorite little phrases for one of our values here at the show is learning in public. So not trying to present perfection, not trying to pull our organizational stuff behind the scenes. And so that's why we're taking all this time to talk about kind of like where we've been, the name change, the website updates, the accessibility, you know, growth, and that we have a ways to go, and meeting our new team members. But again, like the main thing that really brings life to this show and to this community is the wisdom and the practices that our guests so generously offer us. And so huge gratitude to every one of you guests that was on season two and every one of you amazing audio editors who volunteered to bring those episodes to us technically. Okay. So we've made it to part two, and we're going to hear from our two new team members here at the show. I now get to be part of a worker team of three, which is so exciting. And you're going to meet Jale Akavan and Whitney Spencer, both of whom use she, her pronouns. So Jale lives here in Brooklyn and is an audio producer and a multimedia narrative artist. She was raised in the Pacific Northwest and is of Iranian and Norwegian heritage. And Jale records living histories as a facilitator with StoryCorps, if you've heard of that project before, participates in the work of political organizations, and develops audio documentary trainings and workshops with youth, elders, and storytellers. And Whitney is our new digital organizer and is also a storyteller in her own right. Whitney Spencer lives in Chicago, but is from Louisville, Kentucky, and is an educator and multimedia storyteller. She works to privilege the voices and culture of marginalized people whose intellectual production has eluded the thresholds of creation and genre. Oh shit, she wrote that sentence, not me. It's a great sentence. Especially, she's focused on youth activists in Chicago where she resides. Most recently, she's focused on developing skills to engage in organized communities through the use of digital tools, which is totally perfect for the role here of digital organizer, and you're interacting with Whitney when you are participating on our Patreon and our social media and our email list. Currently, Whitney and I are co-holding many of those things, and she's very quickly bringing a lot of creativity and leadership to those areas of the show where we get to really build with you through virtual space. So what you're going to hear right now is a conversation that we had immediately upon returning from our onboarding retreat. We went out to upstate New York and had a couple of days of visiting and learning from the land and the people who tend that land. We got to visit Wild Seed, for those of you who know that organization, and learn about this community of POC folks who are getting in more right relationship with the land and using art and cultural work and working with youth and building giant, gorgeous art installation compost toilets and being amazing. And so we got to have these learning experiences together and also dive deep into planning and mapping out production flow and doing a lot of technical work together too. And just building culture together by staying up late talking and making grilled cheeses and hanging out. And so here's the conversation that we recorded the morning after the retreat. And the first voice that you're going to hear is Whitney's. Here we go.
I'm sorry. I'm fine. I'm just like, I'm not the person ever getting recorded in the work that I do.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
I make films, so I'm either way behind the camera and just listening to someone talk, or when I've interviewed people, I don't speak. My biggest struggle is like when someone says something that resonates, I'm like, on top of like their voice, you know what I mean? So it's never my voice.
Right. For the last 3-4 years, most of the time, I'm trying to make sure that my voice doesn't come into other people's recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's hit play, record.
Great.
Let's do it.
I already heard record.
Oh.
So we just got back from our retreat, our onboarding retreat, 3 days up in upstate New York together. Whitney, I'm really grateful that you flew in from Chicago, and Jolly that you took the train for like an hour. And I'm so excited to welcome you both to the team. I want to just start by, like, maybe with you, Jolly, because you're the podcast producer and you just set us up with this mic and kind of framed us in, like, this thing we're doing right now, which is recording conversations and, like, trying to have heartfelt and natural conversations while simultaneously we know all these people are listening. To just share a little bit about, like, where you came from that leads you to this project.
Sure. I had been working the last couple of years as an audio field producer, so doing recordings of people talking about their own histories, their own experiences, and doing that around the country, and also facilitating some audio documentary skills trainings, whether that was people who wanted to learn about doing like a local history project, people who are creating storytelling projects in a number of different ways, working with students in media programs, and working with some elders who were doing some projects like in assisted living centers, learning mm-hmm. how to record each other and become audio producers themselves. And so, yeah, just a lot of different organizations, and then doing some editing and really thinking about what that means to edit with integrity to the people's voices who have recorded, starting with recording conversations with my grandmother. And I think the thread that has carried through these things and has led into working in audio and working with voices is really learning a lot from people's stories around me.
And so you, Whitney, I think it'd be fun to share the story of how we met, actually, like peripherally met, because you actually have contributed to this podcast before, probably 1.5 years ago. So would you tell us that story?
Yeah, sure. As Kate said, I live in Chicago, so shout out to Chicago. And my partner is actually one of the co-founders of the Mystic Soul Project, and they were featured on an episode in season one. And I actually got a call at the 11th hour. My partner says, we're supposed to be on this podcast. We're really excited about it. The only problem is we actually never secured a way to record the podcast. So can you help us? And I started out in journalism and had done some work just on my own around audio storytelling. So I was like, sure. So we huddled in an apartment around a tiny table, very similar to where we are right now. And I helped record the podcast. And it was really cool because I was still really learning about like the Healing Justice lineage and the work. So obviously being in a space with people that I'm really close to and kind of hearing their contributions to the work and their framing of the work was a really cool experience. And it became the podcast that, you know, everyone was able to hear. So that was like my first kind of introduction to the work and first introduction to Kate. And it worked out, you know, the episode came to life. So I guess in a little way I saved the day. But yeah, so I've kind of loosely been affiliated with Healing Justice. And then my partner, again, was kind of the connector in bringing me here. When Kate put out the call to say that, you know, we're looking for a digital organizer, my partner, who knows me very well, says, like, I think that this is for you and there's no pressure. You don't have to do this. But, like, you know, I think you should just read it and see, you know, how you feel about it. And so, you know, I hesitated and kind of questioned. But then there was this real pull for me that, like, there's a reason why a year ago you randomly were responsible for helping, you know, bring this episode of this project to life. And now, you know, here you are. And the first time that Kate is really opening, you know, this project up and bringing more people on, that, like, you have an opportunity to step in and, like, contribute in a bigger way.
I love that story, too, because, like, speaking of opening the project up, what our timeline has been that we've been around for about 2 years now. And, I mean, things have been incredibly opened up for a really long period of time. Like what we were talking about with our, when we were mapping out our production flow on retreat and all the post-its of who does what to make episodes go out each week. Like there's been like literally hundreds of people that have touched and contributed to this project. And like the interaction that we had was an example of like a very short one, right? Like do a volunteer recording, remote in Chicago, you know? And it makes me think about all the people who have like volunteered so consistently over the past 2 years, and myself included, to like make this project possible. And what feels really distinct about this moment is that like we now have this formal advisory circle, like we're building out more organizational structures that at the beginning like were slow to come to form, partially because we didn't have any funding. So part of the very real moment right now, it's not like there was a choice in the past to not hire people. It was like there wasn't money to pay people. So shout out to like all of our supporters on Patreon and all the people who've given to this project. Like, thank you so much for even making it possible that we can bring people in like a way that supports the sustainability of their lives. And then also there's been this kind of cool, like slow roll to letting structures emerge, like not founding the project with here's the whole board and here's the this and here's the that, but like letting it, the community kind of breathe life into this project and give us feedback about like what's valuable about it. Is it valuable? Is it working? Should it continue? Right? To be kind of in a dance with like what's emerging here. It sounds like it's really slow to like 2 years later be hiring the first two people, but it also feels incredibly right. And so yeah, I'm really glad that you're here. And also want to ask Jale, like, what brought you?
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard about this podcast, it was a few friends sharing episodes with each other. I was like, wow, this is so amazing that, like, this is a way that people can just share this, listen to it at their own pace and at their own time, but then also feel connected to this larger web of change that's happening. Mm-hmm. And understanding that it is evolving, like, in motion with every episode, that it's responding, you know, whether it's, like, online, whether it's people taking that work into fields that are not necessarily talked about on the podcast, but taking that work and applying those lenses, applying those frameworks in their own relationships and their families. You know, that's something like I've been sharing it with family, and it was just kind of amazing to me to see like some of these spaces where some of the words or phrases or terms that get used on the podcast there's a lot of spaces that that's not happening in. And also even across like the different, whether it's like movement building spaces, whether it's all these different works that people are carrying out in the world from themselves, to be able to share and transform one another and giving each other like more lenses to see with. There is this phrase that's been circling in my head the last couple of years, this living library. There's just so much rich insight and knowledges and creativity existing and moving in all of us all the time. And to become more sensitive to that, this library that we're living in the world with each other, and that is something that I just love being in spaces where that's happening, where I have an opportunity to do that with other people, where people have an opportunity to do that with each other. And I think that that has drawn me through a lot of different kinds of workspaces. And I don't mean work like employment, but like places where people are doing work that is important to them. Mm. And I think that's really beautiful. And that, I think, is what made me really excited about this podcast when I first heard about it. And being able to translate too, I think that's something that's close to my heart, is like understanding the limits of translation, like being raised in a family that, you know, there's multiple languages happening and it's really easy to misunderstand one another. I think it's close to my heart to also listen more deeply and come away changed from that, you know, as we're trying to develop ourselves too. So yeah, I'm excited to be part of what this looks like right now. And I feel really grateful for all of the work that is funneling into this and continuing to grow and move out of it. And I'm really grateful to be here with the two of you and everybody else.
That was a big part of these last 3 days, right? It's like, oh my gosh, like us three are, is the first time that we've all been together in person, like for at all slash also for significant time. Like, I think it's a really sweet, fun fact that we intended to record this like while we were on our 3-day onboarding retreat, and that was the commitment. And like, we had other things we were talking about and experiencing and learning that filled the time, and that y'all were like, let's come back on Saturday and like get together again and like do this work of this recording. Like, that just feels so symbolic of like the kind of chemistry that's happening in this little baby team. And like, I feel so excited about also like y'all's bond, like, which just seems very quick coming, and you're both like laughing right now and no one can hear that, but I'm dead, like but what has felt like as we've sort of gelled over the past couple days, like however frivolous or however deeply serious and connected to the work, like what have been some of the things that feel like they're like germinating in this team?
For me, it feels like, obviously, I think most people feel really anxious coming into something new, but I was coming into something new. I was having to leave Chicago, right? So I didn't even have the comfort of like being home. I was staying with a fairly new friend, right? So I had all of these factors kind of building up behind me of newness, and I am consistent. I like to do things the same for my own comfort. But I think that this was really good, and I'm in a place in my life where I've been pushed out of my comfort zone. But I think for me, immediately I knew when you all picked me up the morning to go to the retreat, there was a sense of comfort, like just putting my bags in the car. The sense of calm that I immediately felt was, I'm where I'm supposed to be in this moment. And I think that the last 3 days, that has been kind of a constant for me. Every night when I was finally able to go to sleep, I was always able to really reflect and feel like, this still feels right. And I think that that has really kind of been my biggest theme, that I'm where I need to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing as I'm still learning how to do things, how the flow works, and taking on responsibilities that you've held really close for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the connection that Jale and I have built so quickly also reaffirms that. Because, you know, you're building a team of people. For me, I'm remote. We could have been completely opposite and not got along, but we vibed really easily and really quickly, and we share some of the same passions for this project. And I think that that makes getting into the work even more exciting. Yeah, so this has been a very like fun and tiring but like in many ways transformative experience, and I expect that as I get deeper into this project, that will just continue to be, and that's a really like reaffirming space to be like, this is where you're supposed to be, and all of these different elements that are coming together feel right and feel good.
I feel like for me, the moment, actually two moments that felt the most clear, like, oh, these people who've only had their feet in the project for 2 weeks are like people I can really trust to love this community and to like take good care of this community are, one, when we were like spreading out all the testimonials, which y'all, like a bunch of you have written in on Patreon, on Instagram, on emails, like written reviews in Apple Podcasts. Like we have all this data around like what listeners have shared, and I've tried to archive most of it. And to me, it's like the deepest treasure trove of like feeling into what is the heartbeat of where our movements are at. Like when people are not speaking in front of a meeting or trying to inspire other people to join them or whatever, like when they're actually at home reflecting on the work and reflecting on their lives, we get to receive a lot of those notes and hang out with you in those kind of transition personal times. So Whitney had brought to the retreat, I'm so grateful, like had sifted through a lot of that feedback and like printed out different reviews people left or comments or messages they sent us. And we spread them all out on the table and we're reading them. And I just felt like such a mutual sense of care and ownership between the three of us that like, I've been reading these messages for 2 years, but I didn't feel like, oh, I have some understanding here that you all don't have. Like, I felt so much commitment from both of you around curiosity and like a sacred respect for what people are seeking who are coming to this community. And so I felt like this deep care there. And then I also felt when we were workshopping the naming process, which we won't, at the time that this airs, the new name won't be introduced yet, so we won't give you any specific language, but we got really far to kind of a tipping point in the renaming process this weekend where we actually have just a couple name options now. And that's been like another thing that I've been like driving the facilitation process with, literally probably like 100 people who've weighed in on the name. And like that's mostly been the advisory circle and a few guests that have like really supported this process, and some of you who are listening who filled out like forms online to let us know what you think and all this stuff. And when we all sat down to work on it, like I've had experiences where I bring the name conversation to people and they're like, well, what about this? And I'm like, oh no, like that, it, like it feels so way off. And the three of us are so on the same page in a way that doesn't feel like it's about the name, like choosing a word, but so on the same page about what the heart and the mission of this project is about, that our language is like finding ways to be in alignment because the understanding is in alignment. And that feels so exciting to me, just to be able to join, like, of having had like so many people who have so many brilliant ideas and insight and like guidance for this project, but are not here for like the boring work of the day to day that I actually don't find boring. Like I actually love doing it. Some of the pieces I am excited to hand off, but and that some of those are pieces you too genuinely love, which is amazing. Like that's the ideal. But doing the small repetitive motions that actually build the infrastructure to take care of this community, right? Like I feel like we're mutually invested in that. And so it's gonna take me a long time to actually like fully embody that news, to really feel the addition of your presence, right? Like I feel it now and it's big, but I can tell it's gonna take time to settle into, and I just feel really grateful and like really confirmed in your joining in this way. Yeah. Is there anything you're thinking about, Jolly, that like stands out to you from this weekend, from the retreat? Anything you'd share about sort of this entering moment?
One of the main things I felt this weekend as the three of us were spending time together was like this feeling of the moment being like awake and alive. And, you know, as we're reading the testimonials and we're understanding all of the relationships that stretch across its continued growth. Yeah, I've just felt like, wow, we're really swimming and like testing the temperature of the water and the currents and like bringing our attention to that. You know, as things came up on our retreat and we were like, okay, let's address this and let's shape this together right now. And what kinds of containers do we need to build as a team in order to be able to be a good structure for this podcast and what it is and what it's continuing into, that it's going through, like you said, a lot of change right now. I'm also in a place of learning coming into this team, understanding a lot of the histories that have gone into the work and labor, whether or not there's been quote unquote staff, you know, there's this big ocean of labor that's been working together too. And so with respect to that, coming into that and understanding like how to carry that forward and also how to meet some of the needs that
structurally haven't been able to be met, but also all of these other things that absolutely created their own structure. Mm-hmm. So that's something I've just been really feeling.
Mm. Yeah. So what are y'all excited to do here?
I'm really excited about building community, and I know that that sounds like very broad, but being the digital organizer and working, particularly thinking about like social media and the way that people engage on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and whatever else, it's something really important about building a community that isn't face-to-face, because that's not everyone's reality. And I'm really excited about that. As a person who was born and raised in the South, shout out to Kentucky, I understand how important that is for people who are not necessarily like living in the epicenter of the work and living in the epicenter of the movement, but still really feel drawn to this, feel compelled to do this work, are healing themselves, are trying to find ways to bring, you know, the things that people are sharing into their own spaces and communities. You know, social media has really changed that and has given people that opportunity. And I think Kate has done a really amazing job of cultivating community, you know, in the last 2 years, knowing also how many other things that you've had to do on your own. And so I'm really excited about coming in and not only joining that community, but like also helping cultivate it even further and engaging in conversation. You know, I'm a person who believes very deeply that like everyone exists in a place of brilliance, and I'm always so captivated about sitting and hearing and learning from other people. Like you mentioned the testimonials. That was one of my favorite things about kind of this onboarding process, as you were sending us all of these different things to look at and to read. And I know you were worried that we were going to be overwhelmed, but it was actually really cool and very powerful to see like the ways that people are using this podcast to not just educate themselves, but their communities, or taking it back to their movement groups, or, you know, for some people, they're really healing. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. Like, I take that very seriously. So to know that I get to come in and Kate has kind of handed me the keys to this very vibrant community of people who are using this as a tool to shape, you know, our world and the way that we kind of move through the world, it's an honor. And I'm just so excited to really get to know folks. And, you know, folks will get to know me because I'll be all over social media all the time. So yeah, it'll be really exciting. And I think I got a pretty strong meme game. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, you know, I like to think I'm up on the meme game, so people can be ready for that too. Yeah.
That's going to be a good addition to the culture, because I think I've been running it pretty seriously. So you're going to help us breathe a little bit.
Yeah. I've been a little stressed about that, because I'm like, memes make the world go round, but like this is also serious. So like I don't want to change the vibe. But like, you know, I felt like it was really important, like from the retreat, like I had to let the world know that we worked to Beyonce. That was really important. You know, I felt like that was a really pivotal moment for us. Right. So yeah, you'll get a lot of Beyonce and some great memes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really fun. I'm excited to see what you do creatively in spaces that, like, the lowest common denominator is that those are spaces that actually separate us from each other. Like, we're hiding behind our phones. We're, like, addicted to social media, right? Like, there's all of these negatives to, like, drawing people more online. And that's been part of my fear also. Like, we haven't started a Facebook group yet. We haven't really created a lot of digital space other than just this podcast, because we also don't want to like drag people into like isolation behind a screen. But I love what you said, and what you said is 1,000,000% true, of like there is real connection happening in our digital lives. And I feel like a real shared commitment with you around how do we shape the culture and boundaries of our digital space that like supports real depth of interaction and like actual relationships.
Yeah, I think the digital space is actually just like the first space. It's the first step. But, you know, I understand, I've done a lot of research around social media, so I understand like the fear that people have around like we're behind our screens, we're not leaving the house, we're not engaging other people. But I also think about like the accessibility of what it means to be able to engage online, that like it isn't always a reality for folks to be able to go and physically be in spaces with people. I say that as an extreme introvert who sometimes just really needs to sit with myself. Healing Justice has done such an amazing job of allowing people to find that community. Mm. And maybe it only exists when you're in book club and on Instagram and listening to the episode, if that's what feels right for you. But we've also had proof, and we've had people say that, like, this has connected me to a new community. I met these people because of this podcast, right? I've always wanted to do this work, and now I know how because I've been given these resources. And so I'm excited to really reframe that and hopefully continue to cultivate that space for people so that as they continue to dive deep into the offerings of the project, that they are able to connect further with people. Because I've seen the power of what it can do. I've read people's feedback, and I know that this digital space means a lot, and the project is opening doors outside of that space. And so for people who feel comfortable and are and feel compelled, they've already stepped outside of the digital space, right? And I think that that's only going to continue to grow as we build out this project, for sure.
I mean, I even feel in touch with this, like, having moved to New York from Milwaukee, like, the amount of times that I get to go and be in physical community or attend a workshop or, like, learn a new skill because there's so many people here who are, like, doing direct healing justice work. For me, too, this podcast remains, like, a love letter back to the organizer I was 10 years ago in Milwaukee. Like, I really would have benefited from having access to a resource like this in addition to the sort of, like, hardworking strategy training that I got to help me build a little bit more of a fullness that maybe would have required less recovery, less unraveling now that I'm in my early 30s.
And Whitney, you were talking about Kentucky being outside the epicenter of these places. And, like, that makes me think about making visible and audible that there are a lot of centers where this happened. And how is it showing up in our lives? And I think that's something that really drew me to the podcast, is that it's a way to heal that, like, fragmentation of relationship, structural fragmentation, geographic fragmentation, historical fragmentation, our consciousness. When we hear about one another rather than from one another, that changes the relationship and understanding of ourselves too. Also, beyond the episodes, beyond the listening of that, what are the other things that are happening through this? And that's something that really struck me as we were reading through the testimonials. Just all of the ways that people are feeling that, whether we were talking about, like, whether people are listening in the bathtub, whether people are listening on the subway, whether people are listening while they're farming, whether people are listening after work or on their short break, like, whatever it is. And for us to be a part of healing that kind of fragmentation through this work is something that drew me to this project.
Yeah, something I'm really looking forward to is, like, this, something we talked about a lot about this weekend, and that as this airs and beyond, we'll be talking about more, is, like, really interrupting, like, the very extractive frame around, I mean, one, around organizing and activism of, like, oh, it looks this one particular way, like what you were talking about, Whitney. And then also this extractive frame, like, there are privileged places, right? Like, when I talk about being able to go to a workshop, that's, to me, that feels like a question of access, like, but not reflection of an epicenter. Like, and I think what I've heard from Healing Justice elders that we've been talking to throughout this process and since before the podcast launched is, like, Healing Justice inherently as, like, a framework interrupts that fantasy. That, like, oh, like, progressive work is happening on the coasts, or, like, the way that we're still, like, reifying patterns of power and privilege and where we look for and find authority.
I will say the thing that I think makes kind of the connection that the three of us have built so quickly is this, like, we have a very, like, genuine and, like, deep passion for, like, learning and like, unlearning and relearning. Like, we have done that so much in the past week that I'm confident that, like, the way that this project continues to grow will really be embedded in the way that we, like, are just so passionate about wanting to know. I want to know, one, other people's stories, and we're all, I think, really in alignment with, like, people have a voice, and, like, let's elevate that voice, right? That we sit in places of privilege in our own ways, and so how can we use that privilege or that access, the skills, the ability, the knowledge that we hold to, like, uplift that of other people? And I think so much of that is embedded in this notion that, like, we know that there are times that we can just be quiet and we can listen and we can learn from other people, because that's going to make us even richer as people. It's going to make us richer in, like, the work that we do. I think that as a team, we all really, in our own ways, like, embody this deep passion for just, like, learning and wanting to learn and hear from other people that will, I think it will touch people, and I think people will feel that, you know, as we continue to bond and like grow as a team, I think that they'll see it in the different things and ways that we do. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd really like to say before we close?
I think for me, it's just like, talk to me. I'm really excited about being in the social space, and I know that people have such amazing things to contribute, and I'm, you know, I get excited every time someone's like making a comment or like sharing a story. I love all your emojis, so like please keep sharing your emojis. But yeah, I think that there are so many conversations to be had out of, you know, the work that people bring and the energy that people bring to the project. And so, you know, I definitely want people to feel free to like engage with us and ask questions and, you know, share resources. I really want to be a part of helping everyone really build this community and bring new people in and make people, you know, I want to keep seeing the testimonials of people saying like, I found this something amazing in this. I found something that was really important or transformative for me. Yeah, let's just like keep the conversations going. Feel free to, you know, send us a story, tag us when you're listening. Like, I love that kind of stuff, and I'm super excited to keep getting that and engaging with everyone for sure.
Yeah. Something that I've really appreciated on our retreat this weekend was talking about who are all of the people that we're bringing into this room with us and that we're listening for and that we're listening to, the people who have taught us and the people who continue to teach us.
I think what I'm excited about is, I mean, I know it's, I don't know why I've made this into like a little slogan for myself, but I always say like the podcast is a tactic. Like the podcast is not the North Star that we're working towards, right? Like podcasting, like every other media that we work in or every other action that we plan or campaign we plan, it's like, that's like the strategy piece, right? But what is the goal? What is the vision? And I'm really excited, like the depth of like craft and love that each of you have for your media coming from grassroots organizing and then working more with digital media. I feel surprised regularly by the actual real impact that this kind of work can have, that I think I probably thought before was going to be more of like raising a flag so people could find each other. And then once they get together in person, that's like the only time anything real happens. I've been deeply moved by the power of what using media to convene this community has created. Like I am, when I talk to people about it, I use the word converted. Like I feel deeply converted in an ongoing way. And so I'm so excited for you to hold more of that and to like have more space to just stay creative and curious around like what are the multiple kinds of structures and invitations and resources that we can create toward our bigger mission of creating deep, sustaining, and edifying support structure for folks to make complex, adaptive, lifelong commitments to collective movement work. So excited to be spending much more time with the two of you and also for our community to get to know how awesome you are.
Yeah, I'm excited to all be here together.
Absolutely, I'm excited.
Okay. Hey everybody, it's Kate again. I hope you enjoyed getting to listen in on that conversation with Whitney, Jale, and I. And I wanted to just give you a couple announcements about what's coming up next. We are moving into more of a series format for the foreseeable future. We'll see when it's time for us to come back and do an open season together where we sort of have different episodes on different topics. But one of our big commitments to really sharing the voice and the platform of this podcast is to co-curate a cohesive series about particular topics. And y'all have seen us do this once before with our Surviving Election series that aired during the 2018 midterms. So in 2 weeks, the next series you're going to hear up on the slate is called Generation Transformation. We partnered with a crew called NextGen that is a collaboration of a bunch of different organizations, including Movement Strategy Center, to cover themes around youth organizing and intergenerational organizing. It's
So really excited about that series. It will be airing from October to November 2019, Generation Transformation. The next thing that is coming up is, listen, we have a new name for this show. Some of you have heard through our episode talking about renaming and even our opening episode way back in 2017 and our conversation with Susan Raffo and Kara Page, episode 8, that there's been a long journey of coming into right relationship with the Healing Justice lineage and also having this name. And frankly, it's been a problem to have this name. And so we're changing it. Let's do it. So we have a new name. It is not confidential, but it's also not out yet. So if you see any of us in public, you are welcome to ask us and we'll tell you the juicy story. But we are so excited to celebrate this name change, really tell the story of it, honor the Healing Justice lineage, and thank folks for their incredible leadership that have totally allowed us to learn in this lineage, and also usher in a new era of a new name. I really hope you all love it. We're going to be throwing a party. You can join us in Brooklyn, New York on December 10th. It's a Tuesday night. And check out our website and our social media to find tickets to that party. We would so love for you to be there. We're also going to be putting out a New Year's practice for you and doing more series collaborations going into 2020. So there's a lot coming up. Stay tuned and stay connected with us on our social media, on our page at healingjustice.org. And a huge thank you so much to our sustainers who have joined on Patreon. Y'all, your monthly gifts help us count on a minimum budget that we can do these really important things like invest in transcripts and accessibility, support our small little teams positions, be able to, you know, bring food to meetings and workshops and take care of folks, right? So those gifts that you give every month at patreon.com/healingjustice really make a huge difference. Thank you for joining us there. If you're not there yet, even if you can join at $1 a month, please come join us. Okay, y'all, I literally have to go catch a flight. Hopefully I'm gonna make it. But I'm so grateful to you for being with us. We love this community. We feel so honored every day to get to talk to you and listen to you and support you in this way. And thank you for being committed to this work. We love you.